Welcome back to our second class on neighboring. This week we're going to think about some particular tips on loving our neighbor, and then if we have time, as I got into this, I don't know that we'll have time, but if we have time, we'll think of some guidelines for loving our neighborhood as well. But I said that every week we would give the opportunity to talk about conversations that you may have been able to have with a neighbor that you would like to share about before we pray. So does anyone have a conversation, or maybe Amy to have a conversation with a neighbor that they would like to share about before we pray?
I did reach out to a couple neighbors that I already have some existing relationship with.
Nice.
We made two different play dates, and because we lost power and all the things, both were canceled.
Yes.
But at least we got to chat a little bit and catch up via text and plans to make another play date soon.
Sweet. So. Praise the Lord. That's good. Okay. Yeah, I didn't have any conversations this week, but we'll do this every week, and it can be quick like that, or we can go longer if we have opportunities that we want to share about. Let me pray then. Father, we do thank you so much for where you've put us, Lord, that you've put us in our homes and in our neighborhoods, Lord, to witness for the good of the gospel. And so, Lord, we pray that as we think about how we can love well, Lord, how we can image our God well, and how we love those around us, that Father, you would help us to walk away from this class with a tip or two that we can use in the coming weeks, Lord, to love our neighbors. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I'd love to start with just maybe reflecting on how you have experienced the love of a neighbor. So we're going to talk about some ways that we can love our neighbors. But before we do that, I'd love to hear if there are ways that you have been loved well by a neighbor.
And we have one neighbor who is just like, when we moved in, she wrote a note, like kind of explaining things about the neighborhood. She's like watched our kids a number of times, taking pictures of our family. She just, I feel like, has tried to love our family well. Building relationships. She and I go on walks together a lot of times in the mornings, and so she has just been really good at initiating relationships and texting and just, hey, I have this extra carrot cake. Do you want some? And so she's just done a really good job of loving our family and,
Investing time
in us and, just wanting to watch our kids, her kids come over and spend time with our kids too. And so that's been a huge blessing.
Yeah, that's great. Good. Anyone else? Have you experienced the love of a neighbor?
We have neighbors that are professing believers, so sweet spiritual care during chemo treatment. Mm. They've done a lot of things, like leave gifts at our house, bring food, offer to watch children. We would come out to our house and there would be chalk art, like on our driveway our sidewalk every time I went for a chemo session with scripture and things. And even the other day, their daughter brought me a little rock that was painted with a cross on it for my first treatment. And just that spiritual care and love from a neighbor was really sweet.
Yeah, that's great. That is sweet. Okay, well, my hope is that we will have some ways that we can do that well for our neighbors around us post this class. But I do want to start with the caveat that I talked about a little bit last week. So not everything in this class, particularly in this session this morning, is obligatory. In fact, most of it is probably not obligatory. What is obligatory, right? What is commanded of us is to love our neighbors. So that's what we cannot avoid. But how we do that, how we go about that, will look different for each of us. Right. So what we're going to do in this class, we can think about it more like a menu rather than a rule book. Right. So when you go to a restaurant, you don't eat everything on the menu. But it's a shame to walk out of the restaurant not having eaten anything off of the menu. Right. So that's what we're trying to do today. We're going to give you a menu of options. I think I have 9 ideas for how to love your neighbors well. And hopefully you'll eat 1 or 2 of those things off of that menu that you'll find helpful, useful, or try to make use of. But I don't want you to feel the pressure of, oh, this is now what I have to do. I have to do these 9 things all the time. That's not the aim of this class. And so we're going to think about it in 2 categories there on your handout. You'll see building friendships. That's the idea of loving our neighbors. And then we're going to look a little bit at the end, I said, if we have time, on our neighborhoods. So when we think of loving our neighbors, we often think of that individual level. But I don't think we fully grasp what we want this class to be about if we only love on that individual level. So we image God as we love our neighborhoods. That is, as we address structural problems in our community. So by that I mean things that are unfair, inefficient, unattractive, or dangerous in our neighborhood, right? So maybe you can think of maybe your neighborhood has a bunch of lampposts. So one way you can love your neighborhood well would be by, right, going through the proper routes to get the lamppost fixed. So now the lampposts are shining, and you've made something that was inefficient and ugly more efficient and beautiful. So that's that category of loving our neighborhood, those sorts of things. But that will be second, and if we have enough time, we're going to focus on loving the individual in particular. So on your handout there, that section there, building friendships, 9 ideas for building friendships. The first one is introduce Jesus early on. Introduce Jesus early on. So in our interactions with our neighbor, as early as we can, we want to try to get the fact that we are Christians into that conversation. So that doesn't mean that you have to tell your neighbor the whole gospel, right? Doesn't mean that the first time you meet your neighbor, you're going, hey, this is Jesus, he's the Son of God, come to earth, die for our sins, rise again, and you're going through the whole gospel story. You need to repent and believe. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about introducing Jesus early on. That's not a bad thing. If you feel comfortable doing that and you feel like it fits, great. But the idea here is that we want to just make it very clear early on in our friendships that you intend to follow Jesus. This is easier on my as a pastor, because I can, when I introduce myself to a neighbor, and one of the first things they usually ask is, what do you do? I can say, I'm a pastor at the Stafford Baptist Church. And that immediately goes, oh, that person's a Christian, right? And a particular kind of Christian, right? One who's really intentionally trying to follow Jesus. But you might be able to reference things like, if you meet them as you're going into your car on a Sunday morning, hey, nice to meet you. We're on our way to church. You might say, we have a small group coming over later, or whatever it might be, there are ways to introduce Jesus early on. So as you're thinking about that, does anyone have any cool way that they've tried to do that, or intentional ways that they've tried to introduce Jesus early on in any of your relationships with neighbors? How have you sought to do that? Or what are maybe some ways that we can do that? I've given you a couple. Are there other ways that you think about that? Good.
Usually it's about homeschooling. Why the reason? That's good. Beliefs.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's wonderful. Yeah. So you use schooling as an opportunity to introduce. Yeah, that's great. That's good.
The last couple of times we've moved states. Mm. So you're moving into a brand new neighborhood, mm-hmm. The last 3 times we've moved, we've built in brand new neighborhoods, so everybody is new.
Okay.
So when we come in, everybody's telling, where did you move from, and all those things, and you're kind of picking up, like, where everybody is now settling roots, and so that's one of the questions that I always ask is, oh, have you found a local church?
Mm.
You know, or if they say, oh, I'm from this area, most people are moving, especially in this area, it's very transient, most people are moving from far away.
Yeah.
Be able to say, oh, did you have a church there? What kind of church are you looking for? Or offering, like, oh yeah, we found this church, we're visiting this one, just as a transitional time.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Yeah, so if you know that they're new, asking, about church history, or if they're looking for a church or what that may be, recommending your church. Yeah, that's good.
Or if it's more established neighborhood, you can say, "We're new, I'm looking for a local church. Do you have one?"
yeah, that's right. That's good.
It's interesting the different ways that they answer that. It could really give you a good into future conversations.
Yeah, that's good.
In a very subtle way, God in your conversation. When did you move here? Oh, God brought me here. God's gracious. Something along those lines. It can be very subtle to start with.
Even a subtle way of just sort of introducing. You're trying to follow. This God. And again, we're not trying to necessarily say. Introduce our whole theology of who God is or any of that, but yeah, just kind of introducing that. That's good.
Prayer is another way that I could say, "Oh, I was praying for kids in the neighborhood for my kids to play with," or introducing the concept that we pray could be a hint.
That is, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The author Max Stiles makes a point about why we should put it on the table early on that we're Christians. He says, "We don't want to teach our neighbors that we're really good moral people, and if they just get their act together, they also can be really good moral people." So we want our neighbors to think of us, right, as decent, kind human beings. But there's a deeper level where, we want them to know more than that. We want them to know that we weren't always a decent, kind human being, that we are wretched people saved by a good Savior. And so letting our neighbors know that we're following Jesus is an important way of introducing that. So in some neighborhoods, that will be really easy. If you just call yourself a Christian, no one else is, and that will stand out like a sore thumb. And in other ways, you have to work a little harder to kind of introduce what it looks like, how you're intentionally following Jesus. So, yeah, the first step, introduce Jesus early on as you're trying to build relationships with people. Set the table so that they know that you're not just a good, kind, moral person, but there's something else going on there. All right, secondly, know their stories. Know their stories. So, knowing their stories starts with first learning their names. So knowing their stories starts with learning their names. Does anyone have good tricks of how they've learned and tried to keep the names of their neighbors on their on the tip of their tongue or in their mind? Because I'm really bad at learning names.
We play a quiz game.
A quiz game?
Aaron's terrible with the names, so if we walk by their house or drive by their house I'll mention someone's name and Aaron goes, "What's the husband's name?" The constant ever talking about it.
Yeah, that's right.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah, having it ever present as you're driving through or walking through your neighborhood. Yeah, that's good.
Yes, practice.
Put their names in the notes app in my phone.
Okay, yeah.
And then I can look back at it and remind them. And growing up, my mom had a printout of our neighborhood, and so she had written in the inside of one of our cabinets. She would write down their names before.
Yeah, that's good.
Phones and computers.
Yeah.
But she would use that to pray for them too.
Yeah, yeah, that's sweet.
Anything short of just knocking on their door and say, "What's your name again?"
Anything short, yeah. I mean, if you need to, you can always say that. It's never wrong to say, "What's your name again?" If you're like me, you get in the habit of just calling someone man or lady, and it gets awkward real fast when it becomes clear. Yeah. So this book called The Art of Neighboring, they have a little, what they call block, home, little sheet, which is basically just your house and then all the surrounding, 8 surrounding houses around you. And you can write that up and you put name. You can put, whether they're Christian or not Christian, kids' names, those sorts of things in those blocks. Not, they recommend putting that on the side of your fridge and saying, just make reference to that inside your cabinet, similar to what Rebecca's mom does or did. Yeah, that's good. So knowing their story starts with knowing their names, learning their names, rehearsing that personally. But then it all goes to the next level of then learning to ask good questions. So what are some good questions that you have found helpful in getting to know people's stories?
Where'd you grow up?
Where'd you grow up? Yeah, that's good.
Anything about their family. Yeah.
Okay.
Did your parents live around here? Did you grow up around here? That at least gives you then, especially if you're trying to get into that Christian type of, if you're asking about church, are your parents believers? You know, are you close to your siblings? How often do you see them?
Yeah, that's
what's
good.
Your favorite color?
You can start simple. Yeah. Let's keep things light. Yep. Anyone else? Any other questions you have found helpful, or maybe someone's asked you that you've appreciated?
Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, so I'd encourage you to learn how to ask questions of particularly religious background, right? So as you get to know them, as you're asking, tell me a little bit about family, who lives with you, how long have you lived here? You can ask things of did you go to church growing up? Often people have started in church and they often leave, so that provides opportunities to learn about why they left, what's going on. Currently, maybe if someone is divorced, if you learn someone's divorced, asking how did your divorce affect how you're thinking about God or religious people. So we want to ask good questions that help us build knowledge of their stories. Any other thoughts or questions about that point or the point before that? So, right, so far we've got introduce Jesus and know their stories. All right. Third, live at peace. Live at peace. And for this, we're going to go to Romans 12. We're going to get into our Bibles a little bit and go to Romans 12. We're going to look at verses 17 and 18 of Romans 12. Verses 17 and 18 of Romans 12. So we're willing to read that, Romans 12, 17 and 18.
Romans 12, 17 and 18. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men.
Amen. All right, so what does Paul say about living peaceably with all men? Yeah, right. So far as it depends on you. So he's right. He's encouraging us. He's teaching us that we ought to be extremely careful about pursuing peace. So he puts the onus not on other people. Right. So one of the quickest ways in my house peace gets lost is that other people start blaming the other person for that. Right. So if you have little children or even husband and wife, we do this often. Right. Family, any kind of family, you go. You immediately want to start defending yourself and your rights, and that quickly loses peace. And so Paul's encouragement here is that we should be extremely careful when defending our rights. Rather, we should be pursuing peace as much as we can as it depends on us. That lack of peace should never be because we've given up trying to fight for peace in our homes or in our neighborhoods. So that, I think, applies particularly to our non-Christian neighbors, right? So one of the best ways to hold out the gospel to our non-Christian neighbors is to live peaceably with them, is to show what it looks like as one who has become at peace with God. So what makes that difficult? What makes pursuing peace, particularly with our neighbors, what can make that difficult? And if that seems like an obvious question, that's okay. Obvious answers are not bad answers.
Well,
attitude.
Our attitude, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we might want, you know, maybe they, we don't like where they park their car every day, right? And things like that. Yeah, that's good. Go ahead, Mary. Yeah, sorry.
Things that make your neighbor frustrated. Mm. You know, you should stay away from those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Good example.
Yeah.
Zachary parked in front of the neighbor next door to us, right in front of their house, and they are really particular about their grass. They like everything just so. And Zachary ended up parking right over this spot of grass that they had been trying for years to grow. Also, their daughter's getting married this weekend. Okay.
It's a double whammy.
So they needed, you know, space out in front of their house for family to park. And so they got in touch with us like three different times until Zach finally came and moved the truck. Mm. Well, you know, we could have really gotten in a big argument.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But it's not worth it. You know? Why? Just because you're being stupid doesn't mean...
Yeah, yeah, So living at peace means, even if you're like, I there's not much I can do about my car breaking down and it being stuck there, trying your best to recognize from their perspective, look at things from their perspective, and do your best to fix the situation as quickly as you can. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Not intentionally frustrating them. Yeah, that's good.
So one thing I would say is that the focus here is, I think, one of the things that we, of course, are individually, we're all selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So we want what we want,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, well, that's my problem, I do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, oftentimes, it's not about our rights, what God's talking about here. Mm-hmm. It's not saying, oh, well, that's wrong, you can't do that. No, it's saying, hey, you need to give to your brother, to your mm-hmm. to your neighbor, to whoever. And I think the focus is that how the perception of that person seeing you and saying, okay, well, I know he's a Christian, but he's kind of a jerk, or mm-hmm. He doesn't seem to give, or he doesn't seem to do these things. Well, yeah. I don't like that. And that name attributes always to Jesus Christ at that point.
Yep.
And then it makes him look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. So we should always be giving as opposed to taking.
Yeah, that's good. That's absolutely right. Yeah. If you're only on the receiving end of good in your neighborhood and never giving it, yeah, that's a good way to quickly lose living at peace. There are situations and seasons where that might be necessary, but if that's always the case, right? If that's, you're never, ever giving. Yeah.
Just walking or trying to walk in their shoes. You don't know what they're going through at any particular time.
No.
You know, so just being empathetic, just being understanding that they could be having a bad day,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, something could have just happened. You know, so instead of like snapping back if they say something to you,
yep.
you know, just being able to, you know, back up to understand, just let it go.
That's good.
They might not be believers.
Yeah.
So we're under different authority, if you will.
Yep.
So they might not, you know, be able to express themselves in a God-honoring way. And
yeah.
As Tony's mentioned, like, we're ambassadors for Christ. So
yeah.
That's an opportunity for us to show a different way.
Yeah.
And I would think that would be one of the biggest challenges if people live next to you and around your neighborhood are not like-minded.
Yeah, that's right.
And you're with them all the time if you're home regularly
mm-hmm.
in your here we live very close to our neighbors, so they can hear me talk to my children, they can see me, you know, engage with my family, and so that would be one of the challenges of them knowing, like, my sin struggles.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. Next is fourth, do good things. Do good things. Can someone turn to Proverbs 3:27? Proverbs 3:27. Whenever you get there, you can read it. Whoever gets there first.
Do not withhold good from those who do what is due when it is in your power to do it.
Amen. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Right? So sometimes it is not in our power to do good to those in need of good. But often with our neighbors, it is, right? There's something we can do to help our neighbor. Particularly here, right, we're thinking along the lines of what James says. Deedless Christianity is dead Christianity, according to James chapter 2, that faith without works is dead. We want to, when we can do good to our neighbors, not withhold that good that we can do. I'm going to move into number 5, and then we can talk back about number 4 as well. We're going to do them two side by side. So number 5 is just do something. So do good things, and then 5, following that up, just do something. Particularly as we think about doing good things, right, we can overthink it, right? What is going to be the best good that I can do for my neighbor, right? And we get in our heads a little bit about that, and rather than doing anything, we do nothing in our effort to make the sort of perfect effort, the perfect gift, the perfect good. Rather than that, I want to encourage you just to do something, and it could be very small. One thing Tori's done in the past is whenever we have a house that constantly has people moving in and out next to us. So whenever someone new moves in, she bakes them, like the little cookies that are not, you don't have to do any work, just slap them on the tray and put them in the oven. And then she makes some cookies. She's brought it over, the first time she did this, it produced the best neighbor relationship that we've had. So by doing that, she got to know the young lady that lived there, and that did something good. So it could be something small like baking cookies. It could be inviting them to go to the neighborhood park together. If your neighborhood has a park or a playground nearby, just say, hey, we're going to the playground. Do you want to come hang out with us? Or I'll take your kids if they have young kids, and do you want, I can just take your kids with me. Inviting them over to watch a sporting event, show. I'm just listening ideas at this point. My main reason for these 2 points is just to encourage you not to overthink doing something good, but find small little ways that you can do good things to those around you, and in that, to use what God has given you, the natural desires and skills that God has given you, right? So God didn't put Kelton in my house, right? He didn't put the Kips in my house. He put me in my house. So what is it that I can do for my neighbors to love them well? And that's, I think, we have to think about it, right? God has put you in your house, not someone else. And so if he wanted someone who, could fix cars in your house so that your neighbor who always has a broken car could have his car fixed for free, then he would have put someone there that he put you there for a particular reason. So what are some of the good things that are small and simple that you can do for your neighbors, or that you've tried to do, or that someone has done for you? We'll make it as broad as we can.
Something as simple as checking their mail when they're on vacation.
Okay.
Picking up their newspapers, since that. So
sure.
In the spirit of, no one's home.
Sure. Yeah.
I love those ideas because it's specific to neighboring. Like, to have someone bring your garbage can in and out, or pick up your mail, or take a package off the front porch, or cut your lawn. Like, it's just very convenient to have someone who lives beside you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something you already do. Like, you're going out to take your garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
It's 5 extra seconds to walk next door and do it as well. We've been really blessed by people taking care of us in this mm-hmm. season when they've done a lot of that.
Sweet.
In our neighborhoods, we have lots of children. I like to go to stores, book stores, like you can buy secondhand stuff, So if they break, it doesn't bother me as much. So, and we got lots of dogs, and for summertime, when kids are outside, I
got a box and I just whatever, you know, stuff for the kids to get together and play.
That's a great idea. Yeah, you know, just like a community box of toys
or things to play. Or books or anything
That's great. That's wonderful. It's a great idea.
Another thing with kids, I feel like I just feed them. Like if they're there, you know, they're always just bringing out food and making lemonade. And people keep coming back when you feed them well. And then their parents are so grateful and you get to have a conversation with them. And the kids are always hungry. They're just always hungry.
Amen.
This is more true when I lived in Minnesota. But like if it snows, like shoveling up, you know.
Yeah.
Helping take care of the lawn, like especially if you have older neighbors or people that, you know, can't for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's good.
Cleaning off cars.
Yeah. We don't get a ton of snow here, but when we do, that is a hopeful way.
But if you do, people often aren't prepared for it, right? So if you have a shovel, your neighbor might not.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we're getting hammered now on Tuesday because of
you. I know that, but
we never get snow here.
It's true. All right. Well, we'll keep moving. Number six, invest intentional time. Invest intentional time. So I think two of the greatest challenges to doing something that we just talked about in 4 and 5 are kind of we're dealing with here in 6 and 7. So time and margin in our lives. Time and margin. If you have a job, you probably drive for that job, and you drive. If you drive for that job, you run into traffic for that job, and so time and margin become very small when we have kids, when we have jobs like that, or any sort of responsibility. So, but one of the most important things that we can do is to find intentional time and seek to invest that into our neighbors. I could give you lots of ideas about how to do good, right? We've given some ideas, right? But there's lots of ideas of how to do good or do something, but they all take time. So, really this is more of a question for you to meditate on. Are you investing your time wisely across all areas of your life, but particularly as you think about your neighborhood, right? How are you investing the time that you have set apart for your neighborhood to, how are you using that time? Or are you setting apart any time for your neighborhood, right? Is that when you think about how you spend your week and you're planning out your week, are you planning time to be in your neighborhood, around, out in your front yard, or I'm going to try to take, the next time I get out of my car and I see my neighbor, I'm going to try and take that chance to go talk to them, even if it means that I'm not going to be able to do this other thing that I want to do with that time. So thinking about how you're spending your time. Again, how much of that time you'll invest will depend on opportunities that you have to build relationships and how those relationships are being built and going. But being intentional to invest time, thinking about ways that you can do that. And really, it's probably a good opportunity to bring someone in that you trust and say, hey, this is how I spend my time. Do you think, what are ways that I could be more intentional in my using my time for my neighbors? Any comments or questions on that, investing intentional time?
So you could always double up your time. If you plan on watching, your example is the game.
Yeah.
Involve a neighbor. If you're going to Target for yourself, for knock on your neighbor's door, you go to Target, you need anything.
Yeah.
So you can always take advantage of the things you're already doing.
Yeah.
And bring your neighbor in on them.
Yeah, that's good. Any other thoughts? Good.
Kind of babysitting, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're going to the pool. You can bring them with you. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so that leads well into then number 7, make margin so that you have flexibility. Yeah. I'm not this way, so it's hard for me to sit. But I know people who plan every minute of their day, right, down to the dotted line, right? And so they don't feel like they have margin. Or the way that often how it affects me, right, when I get home from work, I don't want to stand out and have a conversation for half an hour. I've been away all day. I want to get into my house and get to what I want to do or help whatever, you know, other good intentions maybe. But we want to try to cultivate margin in our lives so that, you know, just as some examples, right? When a neighbor asks you if you can provide emergency childcare, you can say yes. Or if you're parking your car and your neighbor is walking next door, you can stop and say hi and talk for a period of time. Time is a rare commodity. Margin is probably even more rare because we conflate the busyness, the lots of things that we have to do with importance. And so ultimately with margin, it's about recognizing and prioritizing what's important and what's not as important, right? There's always things to do. There's always tasks to be accomplished. But ranking what's important and being able to say that's not as important as this is right now helps us make margin. Any thoughts on that? That's very similar to time, but all right. Number 8, the art of receiving. So we're not going to spend a lot of time about this next week. Right now, the plan is for Kelton to teach on hospitality and talk about receiving strangers, loving love of stranger in particular. And so we're not going to spend a lot of time here thinking about how to receive neighbors into our home. Rather, when I say the art of receiving, I want us to think about it in terms of being able to receive help from your neighbor. So that one of the best ways to build relationships, friendships with your neighbor is making known your needs and receiving the help that you need when those needs are known. In the curriculum, he talks about Luke 7, Jesus choosing to love the sinful woman who Simon the Pharisee treated as untouchable outcast. Jesus says, "You can serve me," as she anointed his feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. What if Jesus had said, "No, I don't need you to do that. I can wash my own feet later." Right? Yeah, that minimizes, right, what she's doing. And so, yeah, we know our needs, and so being able to receive help is an art that is a powerful tool for building friendships. So, I mean, you guys, Kips, you guys were talking about ways that you've received help from your neighbors. There's, you know, when your neighbor brings your garbage can down or grabs your mail or picks the newspaper up, people still get that. I don't get that, but... or, you know, shovels your driveway, you know, if they're offering, don't necessarily say, "No, I'm going to get to that later," right? But rather let them do that. Let them help you in that way. Any other thoughts about the art of receiving? Go for it.
Sometimes it's a pride thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of are standoffish because you really don't want to accept any kind of help from anyone.
Yeah.
And, if it's really hard for you to accept assistance or a gift or whatever from someone else, you need to really look at it a second time and make sure that, you know, you're receiving it in God's light.
Yeah.
You know, that it is a gift from God. Anything that somebody does for you or gives you is always a gift from God.
Yeah.
And often answered prayer. I feel like I've prayed so many times, like, "Lord, how are we going to get through this thing?" And he's using people to answer that prayer. So if you deny it, it's like, God's like, "Here, I have someone that I'm going to give you for this task."
That's good.
Because that's helped me receive in a season where I was very limited.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think if you're unwilling to receive help, then when you offer help, it can, right, like, if you're willing to receive help, then a lot of times it opens doors for them to be willing to receive help.
Absolutely.
And for you to be able to, like, get deeper into their lives and find ways to serve them. They're more willing to share their needs as well when you share yours. So I think just, like, having it like showing vulnerability, even if it's like taking that first step to express your needs, can help deepen that relationship.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, the sharing of needs will often multiply in more sharing of needs from the parties. That's good. Yeah.
I had an interesting instance that happened.
Yeah, yeah. Please.
I had moved in not too terribly long before, and I had started a relationship with my neighbor by talking to him and stuff, but then I left for work. I was gone for a bit of time.
Okay.
And my wife called me one day, and she said, "I don't know what to do. My car won't start."
Mm.
And she only had the one car.
Mm.
And she was outside, and I was trying to explain to her, you know, go through these things. Well, my neighbor saw her and came over, and he fixed the car for her.
So
she got it running.
Yeah, yeah.
So that she could go off and do things. And then he came over later after she came home and said, "I want to check things over for you since I know your husband's gone. I'm going to take care of them."
Yeah, that's the
And then I, from that, I learned that he was a retired police officer.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He went through a lot of things, and he ended up helping a lot whenever I was away.
Yeah, so. That's great. Yeah, but even it provides rights. So number two, know their story is one of the good ways to get to know someone is by receiving their help and then following up on that. That's great. Yeah. It's good. All right, number nine. Does anyone want to guess what it says?
Never give up.
Yes. Well.
Don't.
Yeah, never is good. I like never, but don't is what I put. Yeah, but never, don't give up. Yes. So again, I referenced that book, The Art of Neighboring. In that book, they write, when we do simple things over time, we can make a big impact. So the challenge of being a faithful neighbor, is to make small investments over a long period of time. It's to stay in the game, so to speak, right? Not growing frustrated when an idea you had doesn't pan out, when it's not received as you wanted it to be received, when you're not getting the help that you feel like you need or want from your neighbors. The example that they use is from a baseball game. So on September 6, 1995, the Baltimore Orioles beat the Angels 4-2 in Baltimore. But that's not what made the game memorable. What made it memorable was that Cal Ripken Jr. played his 2,131st consecutive game, which became the record that I think is still the record to this day. When the game became official in the fifth inning, the crowd did not stop cheering for more than 22 minutes. They had Ripken, I'm just reading this. I didn't watch this. I was 1 year old when this happened. But they had him walk around the crowd and give high fives and hugs to those in the stands, to police officers, things of that nature, those who were working security. But what they weren't cheering for there, right, wasn't a single achievement, right? He didn't hit the most home runs. He wasn't the most stolen bases, right? They were cheering for an endurance achievement, right, that he endured through what I think was 14 years playing straight of playing games. And you can imagine that in 14 years, he dealt with things like colds and sprained ankles and injuries. He experienced failure, right? Not every time was he wasn't always hitting a home run every game, right? He was discouraged, but he kept showing up and doing his job day in and day out. And the same is true for us as neighbors, that there will experience failure, will experience sin, right, from us or from them. And the encouragement here is don't give up. Find the 2 to 3 things that we've talked about or that someone else has talked about as we have worked through this class, and do those small things consistently while you're in your neighborhood, and just trust that God will do what he has willed. So there's 9 ideas, 9 tips for building friendships with your neighbors. Any questions or comments on that? Well, I told you that we probably would not get to the neighborhood section, but I will give you the blanks so that at least you can meditate on those. So the 4 guidelines about loving our neighborhoods, right? So here we're thinking about structural problems in our neighborhoods. First, submit to authority. Submit to authority. Second, love your neighbor, which sounds circular, but also often the best way to do structural good is by first just doing individual good. Third, be humble. And then fourth, put your hope in heaven. Put your hope in heaven. Yes, love your neighbor. If we had 15 more minutes, we could spend more time thinking about those things. So if you have questions about that, we will do a panel discussion on the last week of this class. So if you have a question about how to do good in your neighborhood as a whole, as addressing some of those structural issues, that would be a great time to ask those questions. But let me pray now, and we will go to our service. Father, we do thank you so much for, Lord, just the ways in which we've experienced love from our neighbors and how, Lord, our aim and our desire, Lord, that you have given us is to do good to our neighbors. Lord, that this desire is not worked up in our own selves, but has come through knowing Jesus and his salvation that he gives to us freely through faith. So, Lord, we pray that as we give thought to that this week, that you would help us, Lord, that we would find one thing from this class that we can go and do. Lord, whether it's asking a good question, Lord, whether it's learning someone's name, whether it's introducing that we're a Christian, doing good, or whatever it may be, we pray that you would help us to do one small thing, Lord, and to endure in doing one small thing for our neighbors and neighborhood. Lord, we pray that you would honor that and that you would bring fruit from that. Lord, and we pray that that would start even as we are encouraged, as we hear your word, as we sing with your people, as we pray with one another in our worship service. We pray in Jesus' name.